The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And we talked about Alexander T. Stewart this week.
We did.
He is, there are so many details about his life that, of course, in any given show, like, you can't include everything. Mm-hmm. I have a few, though, that I will share now. One that I thought was really, really interesting was one biographer pointing out the strategic use of the word ladies in his ads, particularly in his early ads, because it made people think, if I shop there, I will be considered a lady.
A lady.
And so, allegedly, that first customer that walked in when he opened the first day said, I'm a lady interested in fine fabrics. Mm-hmm. And that was part of, like, how he immediately won the favor of many of Manhattan's women shoppers and became, you know, incredibly favored by them for years and years and years. So it's just kind of an interesting... the psychological things that happen. There is also an interesting thing that ties into many of our other shows, which happened 14 years after his death, which is that in 1890, Joseph Pulitzer and several of his employees were indicted for criminal libel and, quote, contriving and intending to injure, defame, and vilify for disgrace and vilify and disgrace the memory, character, name, and reputation of Alexander T. Stewart. Because a series of articles had come out, and they're often pointed to as really the source of the modern interpretation that he was this miserly, mean person instead of, as he always purported to be, I'm just trying to be super fair to everybody and, like, make clear rules. So that was interesting that that happened later. And Hilton, who we mentioned was his right-hand man, Henry Hilton, and his executor, was the one that, like, really got upset about this and said, like, I don't care that you said ugly things about me, but this is a man that I respected and worked with and who has been dead. And please do not mess with his memory for so long, which is kind of interesting. Listen, there could be libel against you long after you're dead, it turns out.
Yeah. I think it's possible that, like, a lot of these contradictory things were simultaneously true. Mm-hmm. Like, that he could be ruthless in some contexts and generous in others. Like, that seems totally within the scope of humanity.
It does. And it also becomes that thing. I found myself thinking a lot while I was working on this that, like, any of those characteristics, you know, greed, generosity, etc., some of that is in the eye of the beholder, right? Where, like, there are also the lenses that any given person has on a situation that will shift the reality. It's kind of like that thing where people say there are always three truths, mm-hmm. yours, mine, and the reality. It always makes me think about that. Because he is, I mean, obviously he was very hardworking and very smart. And we don't know of any of the stories about him being as ruthless an employer as some people claimed are true. I mean, as you said, there are people who love, who stay in a job for a long time, even if it's not like a job that makes sense to other people. Something about it must appeal to them. You know, got me thinking about a lot of things. One of the things that he would do, and it ties to this, and I honestly don't know if I think this is evidence of him being kind or being brutal, mm-hmm. is that in instances where smaller merchants were forced to go out of business because they couldn't compete, he would often offer them a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is that really kind? Like, he's like, you will still have a way to support yourself and your family. Or is it like, haha, you must become part of my enterprise that killed yours? Yeah. And I honestly don't know. And because we don't have a lot of his papers, we don't know. We have a lot of things written to him. Those we mentioned in the episode, the letters to him asking for money mm-hmm. and the letters to his wife asking for money. There is actually a book published that collects a bunch of them.
Oh, wow.
It's the same thing. You don't know what to believe, right? Like, some of these people obviously are just like, I can probably wrangle some bucks out of this. And some people write these plaintive, really sad letters where they either believe or they have convinced themselves that this might be the ray of hope that will get them like over a hump or through a difficult time. And it's simultaneously like, I can't imagine what it's like to feel that many letters all the time of people just asking for things. And it's heartbreaking to know that there were definitely people who were like, I am desperate.
Right.
I think we might be related. I have 5 kids. Can you please help me?
Yeah.
And we don't know necessarily if he gave to any of those people or not. It's the same thing. There are stories that say, yes, he absolutely did things like that. And others that are like, well, there's no proof. So we don't know.
Yeah.
The final thing that I will talk about is the new grave.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't able to verify this. So if anybody knows that lives in Garden City, he and Cornelia were apparently buried in secret places so that there could not be another grave robbery.
No more grave robbing of them.
Yes. And that some are like, well, they're in the church proper in part of it. And others are like, no, probably elsewhere. But the other thing is that allegedly, it's a rumor, it's not substantiated anywhere I could find, is that Cornelia was so worried about their tomb being desecrated that she had an elaborate alarm system included so that if something happened and someone broached the threshold, everyone would know.
Wow. This reminds me of that whole live show that we did on safety coffins. Yeah.
That was a fun one.
It was.
I love a Halloween live show. Anyway, I clearly find him very, very interesting. And he obviously, for anybody that's connecting dots, came up in the research but did not become an episode when we were doing our Resurrection Men season on Criminalia. And it was like he didn't quite fit the bill of any of the stuff we were talking about because we didn't know who did it. So most of we were talking about the people who did the robbing, not necessarily the odd things that happened, although we right. did do some of those. But he just didn't quite fit in that season. And I thought he would be great to talk about because then every time I looked up stuff about him, I was like, what do you mean he built his own city? What? Mm-hmm. what do you mean he made a living out of nothing? Yeah, he's really interesting. Still considered one of the richest men in American history.
Yeah.
That fortune's gone.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about Gonzalez versus Williams this week on the show, and I want to take a moment and talk about spellings. because Isabel Gonzalez's name is not spelled the same in court documents in the name of that court case as, like, she spelled it, both in terms of accent marks and letters. So like the court case is Gonzalez versus Williams, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-S. But her name was Gonzalez with a Z on the end of it. And also with the accent mark, over the A. And, I could not tell you whether this was like carelessness, whether it was kind of an evolution in how we write words, just from having had a job working on the internet with content management systems and style guides for how long have we been here? Like, I don't know, 2005.
1 million years.
Yeah, 2005 is when I started first working for a website. Like, I know there were, like AP style guide standards and just the limitations of our content management system where things like diacritical marks would just ruin everything. I have an old export of our of like all the episodes of our show from like very long time ago before we were using our current content management system. And there are a number of things that are like people's names that had an accent mark of some sort.
Gobbledygook.
Just include garbage characters.
Yes.
So 100%. Yeah, I don't know if this was just carelessness, not paying attention, racism, evolution of spelling, lots of potential.
Some poor overworked court clerk. Like, we have
like a lot of reasons that some of them more valid than others. But also the way that Puerto Rico was spelled in the United States legally officially changed at two different points during the, I think both of them were in the 20th century. It went from being Puerto Rico, P-U-E-R-T-O, like that word is pronounced, or that like that word is spelled in Spanish, to Porto, P-O-R-T-O, like officially U.S. changed that spelling and then changed it back. So a lot of the things that we read today have the spelling of P-O-R-T-O.
Porto.
Yeah. Which
is so weird.
I feel like the way a lot of us say Puerto Rico sounds a little more like Porto than Puerto, but seeing it spelled P-O-R-T-O is just like a lot harder in terms of all of those letters.
Well, it is, because it feels like you're reading something fictional. I don't know. It's like a weird, my brain is like, that's not real. No, it is.
It is. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I've said this about so many people on the show recently, especially women, that I'm hopeful that there will be like a more personal biography of her at some point. I do have the impression from the research that I did that there are family papers and family documents and family histories that could contribute to all of that. So maybe it is something that will happen at some point. There are lots of things about this that I'm curious about. Like I said in the episode that I really think that when she was being detained at Ellis Island, that her family was just desperate to get her out. Like, she was pregnant real close to her when she was expected to give birth. Also just being detained at immigration, that's on its own a whole dehumanizing, insulting process. And so, like, I think they were just trying to make the arguments that they thought would work. But like, that's just my interpretation. I don't know if these, you know, there's a letter written from one family member to another that was sort of like, okay, this is what we're going to try and this is why. So we have to kind of fill in the blanks on some of it.
Yeah. It's one of those, stories like this always bring out the most simplistic hippie part of my soul, where I want to just be like, why borders though, man? Like, why can't we all be cool?
Real valid question. And for a long time in the United States, like, if you could get here, you could stay here.
Right.
And it was really when the U.S. started like excluding Chinese laborers that really started to shift a whole lot. We've talked about the Chinese Exclusion Act in a number of prior episodes, and it came up today. So we did not today. It came up this week when we talked about this this episode. So we didn't get into it in a lot more detail. But like that, yeah, there was a big shift between the attitude of "come on" and the attitude of "well, not if you're any of these people," with lots of different definitions of who all was these people.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad we finally got to do this episode. Some little follow on a few weeks later to the Ensler cases. Whatever's going on your weekend, I hope it's great. Whether it's fun stuff or less fun stuff. If it's less fun stuff, I hope it's as great as it can possibly be in that circumstance. We'll be back with the Saturday Classic tomorrow and something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.